19, 2 Kings chapter 19. Lord willing, I'll remember some of the references because I think there's some powerful cross-references, particularly in the book of Isaiah, because we know as we're going through the book of 2 Kings here that Isaiah is the prophet that is alive and God is using during this time. We've been studying the life of Hezekiah. And so we have just two more weeks to go counting tonight with Hezekiah. I mourn that because then we move into the life of Manasseh. But we've had a great time, at least I've had a great time looking at the life of Hezekiah. Let me just remind you the last 2 weeks and then tonight where we're headed tonight. 2 weeks ago we saw Hezekiah in his early years, probably between years 6 and 14. It was preparation for the enemy. And so what we do is, it's important for us to be prepared for the enemy, and Hezekiah did great, mighty things to be prepared. What we saw last week is we saw the strategy of the enemy in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 13 through 37, and the way the devil attacks us, the way the devil comes about to make us stumble and fall, and so we saw that last week, and so tonight, this is just what I love about the Bible is, it really is what the Bible does. Tonight in chapter 19, it tells us then how we respond to the enemy's attack. So here's what we had last week. We had, you know, we had Sennacherib the king. He sends his messenger and he gives all the bad news. He Rabshakeh, he mocks Israel. He speaks in the Hebrew language. He was trying to intimidate those that were on the walls of Jerusalem. And so he's trying to just stir them up so they quit. You see, words will make us quit a lot. The devil knows that. He will attack you, he will attack me, and it's just with a few little words. So all they did is they came and they yelled and they tried to intimidate the Israelites. And what I love is the response. We saw the response. Look at the end of chapter 18. Look at verse 36. It says, "But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not." But I love 37. "Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh." So, they didn't say anything, but they were distressed. They were beside themselves. They tore their clothes. They rent their clothes. We'll see they put on sackcloth, which is a sign of humility, a sign of desperation before God. And so that gets us to 2 Kings chapter 19. Let's read, if you will, the first seven verses, and then we have a number of thoughts, and then larger chunks after that. So as these men came to Hezekiah, 2 Kings 19:1, it says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of God. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." Verse 4. "It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach his living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." We'll look at the rest of the chapter in just a little bit, but when we see how to respond, here they came with all of these intimidating threats. They were clear. They said, "Who has stood against Assyria?" The answer? No one. They had defeated everyone they had encountered, and they were trying that same tactic against Israel as well. So the first response I want you to look at is in verse 1. "It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." Here's what I'm going to tell you. When the devil attacks, go to the house of the Lord. This is a simple, simple thought. When the devil attacks, go to church. Now, there's a couple of things. I will tell you this. I just love just coming to the house of the Lord. This is a refuge. I come here when nobody's here. And it is a it is sweet. And I love this place. It's not about a property, but God has been kind to us. There is not an evil spirit here. This is a place, I think, by God's grace, that's consecrated unto Him. I would encourage you. Are you struggling? Are you discouraged? Go to the house of the Lord. I'm talking the building. That's what Hezekiah did. I'm talking, you discouraged? Go where God is. Now, I will tell you this. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. And when we gather together, God's here. This is holy ground when we meet. And I will tell you this. I believe it's holy ground, period, because by God's grace, let's consecrate this property for Him. I do want to tell you this. When you don't know what to do, go to the house of the Lord. I would give that instruction tonight. If you called me and you were beside yourself and it was time for a church service, I'd say, come to church. You say, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you if you felt like it. Just come to church, right? If you only came to church when you felt like it, we wouldn't go that often because we're tired. We all have excuses and they are good. But I will tell you this, what Hezekiah did is he came to the house of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you. It's not the place, but I just want to tell you this, is flee to the Lord. And it's just not a push for church attendance. I'm telling you, it would be a beautiful day one day if I drove up and there were other cars here and I said, hey, what are you doing here? I just came to pray, just to get alone with the Lord. I'll get it. Leave me alone, Pastor. Okay, I'll walk away. But it would be neat. I will tell you, this is a place that we can meet with God. And I want to encourage you. I want this place. I want this building. I want this sanctuary to be a refuge for you. I want it to be a place where you can get alone with God. You might wrestle with God sometimes. You might be in great distress. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. He rent his clothes. He put on sackcloth. But the first thing that he did is he said, I got to go meet with God. When trouble arises, when problems come into your life, develop that response. Don't run away from God, but run to God. I want you to know the natural response is to run away from God, is to run away from people, but the supernatural response is that we should run to God. I want to tell you, if we do what's natural, we won't do what Hezekiah did. When the devil attacks, and he surely will, part of me says, I wish I could even discuss with you things that are even going on tonight. But I love this because I think the Lord actually wants me to have, you know, real-time reality with, what should I do? When the devil attacks, run to God, go to the house of the Lord. Second thing I want you to see is, look at verse 2, and it says, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Here's what they did. They sought out the prayers of godly believers. Here's what they knew. They knew this. Hezekiah, he went to the house of the Lord. And he said, I got business to do with the Lord. He said, now you guys, I love this. You know, this is always fun. So he's going to do business with the Lord, he says, but he wants things to be done also. He says, now you guys go find Isaiah. I know Isaiah knows God. Isaiah talks to God. The Lord is with Isaiah. I want you to go to Isaiah because we need Isaiah to pray. Isn't that good? I want to tell you, do you know people that when you have trouble, that you can go to them, you can text them, you can call them, you can email them, you can get a hold of them? I'll tell you this, you want to know people that know God. That's important. I will tell you, you want to be able to go to them, and this should be our response. Do you see it's different than what we do? The first thing he said is, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, I'm going to humble myself before the Lord. He rent his clothes, he was in sackcloth. And then he said, who is it that knows God? Isaiah. Isaiah knows God. I'm going to get a hold of Isaiah. And what he did is he sent his trusted friends to Isaiah. I want to ask you this. In James, turn over in your Bibles to James. I wanted to show you there. I probably wouldn't have had you turn over in your Bibles since I have to, because it's usually printed on my notes. James chapter 5. Look what it says in verse 14. This is New Testament truth too, just as it's Old Testament truth. You see, I want to tell you this. Truth has never changed. Salvation has never changed. And so we see the consistent thread through scriptures. Look at James chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Okay. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm not going to go into the depths of that passage, but here's the simplicity of the passage. It's this. Are you sick? I believe this is also referring to sick spiritually, but whether you want to say, are you sick physically, sick spiritually, what it does is it says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here's what you want. You want godly people praying for you. And so here's the tough part about that, right? And people will call me, and I promise you this, you never have to say this. People say this to me all the time. I'm sorry I bugged you, right? I'm sorry I bothered you. And I promise if I'm right with the Lord, you won't bother me. You call me. You pour out your heart. You tell me your struggles. It won't be something I probably haven't even dealt with personally. Right? Here's the reality. You know what we struggle with? We don't want to tell anybody our problems. We're too proud. We want everybody to think we got it all together. There's not one person in this room that has it all together. Not one. There's not one person in this room that even has it close to all together. I mean, we are not even close. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know this. We have to become vulnerable. I want to tell you, if Hezekiah hadn't gotten Isaiah involved, Hezekiah would have missed out on great encouragement. He would have missed out on Isaiah being able to tell Hezekiah, it's all going to be good. I talk to the Lord. I want you to know this. You need to know who will pray for you. You need to get a hold of them. Remember, this is when the devil attacks. The first thing that Hezekiah did is he went to the house of the Lord. He humbled himself, went to the house of the Lord. The second thing he did, he said, get Isaiah. You know, he couldn't call him on the phone. So he sent messengers. Get Isaiah. And you know, in order to get that, you have to humble yourself. It's very rare I get phone calls. Every time I get phone calls, people will say, I'm so sorry for calling you. I'm so sorry for bothering you. It is never a bother. It's an honor. If I'm right with God, I'll be thrilled to take your problem before the Lord. I will give you a top secret. You probably want to get a hold of my wife more than me. I know that's crazy, right? My wife, I'm telling you, I asked her, I said, what number are you dialing? I mean, I could tell you story after story after story, right? I mean, it's crazy at times. Guess who I tell? Guess who I ask to pray? It's my wife. There's no doubt about it. I wish. There's just no doubt about it. It's like, oh, well, what do you say? And so you need to find out people that you can trust. You want to start figuring out who is it that looks like they can get in touch with God? Who is it that God listens to? That's who you want to ask. Hezekiah was desperate. You understand the situation of Hezekiah. He has at least 185,000 soldiers surrounding Jerusalem. I know 185,000 because we'll get there here in 2 Kings chapter 19. At least 185,000. And this king had already destroyed, his dad had already destroyed the northern kingdom. He had taken all the fenced cities of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. And it wasn't looking good. Hezekiah was desperate. He went to the house of the Lord and then he sought the Lord in prayers. Look at verse 3. And he told them what to say and he said, say unto him, say unto Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth and there is not strength
to bring forth. You understand the picture that he's saying here? He's saying this. It's been 9 months. It's time to have a baby. But the baby can't come out. Mama doesn't have strength. The baby's wore out. The baby is going to die. Here's a picture of that. The picture that he's saying to Isaiah, this is fascinating. You know, this is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth and we can't do it. I want you to know this. Recognize our hopelessness in ourselves. It's absolutely critical. We think we've got it most days. There's very few of us that are absolutely desperate. But every feeling-wise, every single person in this room tonight, we are desperate. We are hopeless in ourselves. There's no encouragement in our might. We seem to think that's the case. But what Hezekiah is saying is, he was brought to that reality when he's surrounded by this great army outside the walls of Jerusalem. And he's saying, the baby can't be born. There's nothing we can do about it. I want you to turn over to Isaiah. Let me quickly find that here. See if I can find my passage. That's a different passage for later on. There's another one in Isaiah. I'm trying to remember. Let me tell you what it says in Isaiah. I wish I had the reference. I don't. It's trying to remember as I've read it, but I can't remember it right offhand. But here's what the Lord said. Do you see here in 2 Kings 19 what he says? 2 Kings 19, he said, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. Talking about the same situation Isaiah did when he was writing the book of Isaiah, this was the Lord speaking. And here's what the Lord said. The Lord even said, this is a day of trouble. It's a quote by God. And he says that in Isaiah. And what he says is, but the people, they rise up. They offer burnt offerings. They go about their daily lives. They're happy. They drink wine. They eat food. And they say, let us laugh, and because tomorrow we die. You see, God was unhappy with Israel because while Hezekiah, the leader here of the southern kingdom of Judah, while Hezekiah rent his clothes, while Hezekiah was in sackcloth, the nation of Israel, they'd given up. You see, I think there is a picture that is a likely cause and a likely outcome of our country. We worry way too much about this election. I'm telling you, by God's grace, I'm not worried about it at all. Do you know what I think all of us have finally concluded, and it's where we should have been in the first place? God has it all under control. It doesn't remove our responsibility at all. But I'm telling you this, we need to rest in the Lord. I don't know if I would be encouraged if any of the candidates won. And I guess somebody has to win. I guess the best outcome would be, this is the first election that, you know, I guess they couldn't get their electoral votes. Wouldn't that be great? But maybe not, if that means we had a third term, right? Who knows what the solution could be? But don't get distressed. Don't let that be your hope, you see? In fact, don't worry about it at all. Be about the mission of the Lord. That's what He would have us to do. Here's our reality. It's hopeless, Steve, in you. It's hopeless in me. It's hopeless in every single one of us. And that's finally where Hezekiah came. And Hezekiah is absolutely one of the greatest kings of Israel. In fact, he's the best king of the southern kingdom, the Bible said. It's already told us that. I think he's probably second, maybe third, if you want to say David, and then maybe you'll say Solomon, and then maybe Hezekiah, but I kind of put Hezekiah above Solomon. And so, you know, you can rank them. I don't know if that the Lord's interested in us ranking them, but here's how we respond. When the devil attacks us, we need to go to the house of the Lord. When the devil attacks us, We need to get as many people that we know that know God praying. When the devil attacks us, here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that there's no hope in us. No hope in us. That's a good place to be. And you know what? When's the last time you prayed and you told God, I have no clue what to do. If you don't fix this, I will surely mess it up. It's a good place to be. It's not a good place to end, but it's a good place to be. Now the fourth thing, I want you to look at verse 4. He says this, It may be, the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Here's what it is. Recognize our only hope is in God and in His will. Here's what Isaiah said. He said, we're like a baby. We don't have the strength to be born. But he said, who knows? Who knows? But maybe God will hear the reproach. Maybe God will move, and He's our only hope. That is absolutely our shape today. God is our only hope. He's our only hope with every single thing. When you are discouraged, it is only the Lord. When you are discouraged, be encouraged with this. It's not up to you. It's not how smart you are. It's not how talented you are. It's not how righteous you are. It's how long-suffering. It's how pitiful God views us. His mercy, His grace. And God wants us to humble ourselves. You see, I'm very encouraged with that. Tonight, I'm very encouraged with that. There are situations where I'm like, oh man, I caused this problem. And then I struggle with this. Now it's your problem. I try to avoid saying that. I know that's what I'm thinking, but I don't say it. But I should have realized in the first place, my only hope is in the Lord. Tonight, I don't know who here is discouraged and who here you think, man, there's no hope. There's no hope. I just want to tell you this. It wasn't in you in the first place. We have to put our hope in God. There's no way, absolutely no way, Judah should have won. But they put their hope in God. Then, here's what I love. Look at verse 6 and 7. And look at verse 5. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah in verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Here's what we have to do. We have to hear the words of the Lord. So remember, this is when we're struggling. Hear the words of the Lord. Now, I love this. I would prefer to be where we're at today. I know some of you say, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we had a prophet Isaiah and we'd go, bling, Isaiah, Steve here, having a tough night. I know. What is the Lord going to do? Hang on just a second, Steve. I'll check. Isaiah comes back and says, it's all good. God's going to take care of it. Thank you, Isaiah. See you later. You know, here's this is me. How does Isaiah know what God's going to do? You know, that would be me. It's like, what if Isaiah's not right with the Lord? Right? I want to tell you this. This is important. You come to church. You got to be real careful that I don't pull a fast one on you and just slip some, you know, heresy in on you, right? You better see it in this book, right? I love this. Isaiah, hey, Steve. What you just told me violates the Word of God. Help me understand this. You know, and he hangs up on me. And so, I love this. I have the Word of God. And it's not an opinion. I don't have to worry if Isaiah had a bad day. Because Isaiah deserved hell just like me. Oh, you know, I would sure appreciate it. That'd be great, Isaiah, if I heard the words of the Lord. I can't. Right here. We've got it better than they had it. There's no doubt about it. We've got it better. We can turn to the Word of God. Here's the problem. When the devil attacks, you know what? I don't think we turn to the Word of God. And you know, here's the thing. If this is the bit, as good as it gets for you, here's what we do many times. I'm having some problems. Concordance. That was a mistake, you know, or Habakkuk. Oh no. You know, we do the Russian roulette with the Word of God. Here's what we need to do is, you need to be in the Bible. You need to know His Word. You need to be searching the Scriptures. And I want to tell you this. When you don't know what to do, get in this book. You see, you know what encouraged Hezekiah? It was the words of the Lord. Now, I really believe. Now, I know you say, I would love to hear. I'll tell you this. Because this is the thing. There were tons of false prophets, and they were smoothies. And they looked good. And they sounded good. How did you know that Isaiah was telling the truth and not whatever? Jimmy Joe, right? I don't know. How do you know? Isaiah got one right, but the devil can help another prophet get one right, and you might not know. We know by the Word of God. I want to tell you this. This is absolutely critical. We need to hear the words of the Lord. You need to be in the Bible. If you are discouraged tonight and you haven't been in the Bible, absolutely. How can you be encouraged if you're not in the Word of God? It's you're starving spiritually. You can't hear from God. Here's what we do. We pray and we're like, we're waiting on a feeling. No, get in the Word of God and enjoy it and keep seeking and keep studying and keep saying, I've got to know the Lord. I want to tell you this. I love this. I was having a good time today. I'm going to share this. It's completely out of context, but I think I learned something today. I have always struggled with this. I've always struggled with, you know, many times when Jesus would tell somebody, He would do a great mighty miracle, and He would tell some, don't tell anybody. Then the next guy, He'd be like, no, you stay here and you tell everybody. I always thought, that is wrong. You know, I thought, because here's what I always preach. I preach this. If you're a Christian, you can't shut up. But here's what Jesus would do. He'd save somebody and He'd go, you don't tell anybody. No, tell anybody. And I always thought, well, He was testing their obedience, right? That was always my simple response. But here's what I'm convinced of at times. This is just fun, right? This is just, you need to think about the Word of God. I'm enjoying this today. Here's what I'm convinced. In all we do, we have to bring glory to God. But in that simple thing, the Lord was working on my heart, and I've got to hear the words of the Lord. And today, it hit me, I'm telling you, it hit me, and I had a great time with it. Here's one reason I think the Lord said, shh. And I think the Lord was speaking to me. Because this is a struggle. When God blesses, how do I communicate that? You know, I get around preachers. Well, you know, let me tell you my numbers. They're up. They're good. And I think, you know, what is that? But God begins to bless, and here's what I think the Lord would have me to do. I need to bring Him glory, but you know what I think? Shh. Everybody will know. You don't have to tell them that. Now, see, I think we ought to tell everybody about the gospel. And I think our purpose ought to be to bring glory to God in all we do. And for the first time today, I think I finally got it. I don't think it's my job, and I don't know if the Lord's exactly pleased if I go around and telling everybody all the blessings God's given me. You know what I think I should do? Shh. Live for Jesus. Spread the gospel and glorify God without somehow bragging that He blessed you in a special way. And when He told them to be quiet, I don't think He told them to be quiet about the gospel. He just said, this special blessing I gave you, just between me and you. You don't have to tell everybody. And you know what part of it is? I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that today because I've struggled with that as a pastor because part of me says, when God blesses, I want to let everybody know. You know, I told you that story that one time that we were going to miss this flight and it was going to cost us $1,400 extra to come home. And I told you this, you know, this is my prayer wife. You've heard this story. Some of you have. My wife, you know, she goes, you know, we were already late. You know, we were an hour out of Jacksonville she said, well, let's pray about it. I said, no, I'm not praying about it. I said, we are already late. I said, I'm reaping what I sow. I said, I should have left sooner. And I said, I'm not praying about it. I'm not doing that to God. And she goes, I'm praying about it. Well, I've since learned that when she says that, I'm like, oh, okay. But that was, you know, so she goes, I'm praying about it. I go, you know, so in a bad mood. And so we drive, and you know, I get to the airport, and I'm thinking of all my strategy, how I'm going to talk them into giving me tickets without charging me. So, you know, I mean, this lady let me go 10 minutes. You know, I'd just gone through the three-pronged strategy of, you know, persuasiveness and, you know, and all this. I mean, I was ready. I had her in the third prong. And then she goes, no worries, Mr. Hall. Your flight was delayed in Cincinnati and it hasn't arrived yet. So then here I was. I got to tell somebody about it, right? Amen. I got to tell somebody. And so we actually went and filled the van up because I was going to drop the van off and pay, you know, $37 a gallon or whatever it is if you don't fill it up. You know how they just skin you, right? I said, we got to get this van here. So then we went and filled it up. We actually had lunch and we relaxed. We're sauntering in the airport, right? And I mean, I am just like spiritual. Let me tell you how good God is. And so I began to tell everybody, right? Now, the plane had been delayed more than 3 hours. And so, you know, I didn't catch this. And so I began to tell people, you know, how good God been, how... Then this one guy, he taught me a lesson. And I think it was consistent with what God helped me today, that sometimes, He looked at me and he goes, well, what does that mean God thinks about us? And I'm like, wow, well, that's a mighty good question. I didn't tell anybody else the rest of that time. And there was a crowd full, right? I'm like, I'll get to you in just a second, you know. But I shut up. So that's an example. You know, my wife, she prays, right? I mean, she destroyed a plane in Cincinnati that it broke down. And but here's the point is we must hear the words of the Lord. We must hear from Him. I want you to be pondering the Scriptures. I want you to know the Bible. Here's what I want. If I could do this one thing. You know, you've heard of Pavlov's dog. How many's heard of Pavlov's dog, right? It's an old experiment, right, that they, every time they would bring a bowl of food for a dog, they would ding, ring the bell, and he would salivate, you know. And so then, you know, ding, every time they brought food out, he'd be like, you know, and so ding, every time, he'd start slobbering. And so then what they did is they would ring the bell, no food. He'd start slobbering. Because he'd been trained to associate the bell with food. And when the bell rang, the salivary gland, I'm hungry. Here's what I hope for you and I. When we have problems, ding, get into the Bible. You see, it's not natural. It's not normal. But we need to make it normal. When trouble comes, go to the house of the Lord. When trouble comes, seek out the prayers of others. When trouble comes, realize there's no help in us. But no, I'm not close to done. But let's just keep... It sounded like a closure, didn't it? So I thought, stop that. You're just teasing them. So now let's look now and see how else we respond in 2 Kings 19. We're going to look at broader passages here. I want you to look then at... Look at verse 8, 9... In 10, it says, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now, I'm just going to pause there. I'm just going to show you this. When we can trust in the Lord, right, when we hear the words of the Lord was protecting Hezekiah. He gave a diversion here with the king of Ethiopia. We don't hear anything else about that. But that's why he sent messengers again to Hezekiah. That's why he didn't besiege Jerusalem just yet, because he had other fronts. He had one at Lachish. He had left Lachish, and then he was in Libnah, and then he was fighting in Libnah, and then he hears about the king of Ethiopia that's going to come and try to see if he can get the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, while he's distracted. And so Sennacherib sends another messenger. I think that's the blessing of God. Now here's what I want you to tell you. The next point, I've only got three more, and we're going to move fast. When the enemy attacks, make everything about God. When the enemy attacks, make everything about God. Let's look at verses 10 through 19. I'll explain that.
Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shall thou be delivered? This is the message from Assyria. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, and even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now look at verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. I want you to notice, Hezekiah prayed for quite a long time before he finally got to the request in verse 19. Do you see that? He said, save thou us out of his hand. Make everything about God. I want you to know, do you ever wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers sometimes? Is the greatest prayer of parents for your children, is there any greater? That's just a reality, is it not? I think it's an okay reality. I'm not here to chastise you or beat you up by, you know, guess what? You know who God loves more than anyone? His children. If you're a child of God tonight, it's a blessing. You know that? It's an amazing blessing. But I'll tell you, we parents, we love our kids, right? Now here's what I want you to do, is I want you to try to connect the dots. And what I love is Hezekiah was in this horrible quandary, that he was besieged on all sides, and there was no hope. And I love this, right? I love this, that he spreads out the letter before God. He knew God knew about it. He knew God saw it, but he was just in case you'd like to see it again. Right? Because here's the interesting thing. That's exactly what prayer is. Do you think God goes, oh, whoa, I did not know you were going to ask for that. That is a shocker. I did not know you were having those problems. But God says He wants to hear from us. And here's what I love. Hezekiah, you see, you can't go to prayer 101 when you're in a trial. But look what Hezekiah did. Look at verse 15. He says, O Lord God of Israel. And this wasn't a guy that was just trying to flatter the Lord. O Lord God of Israel. He's making sure that he remembers and he's just praising God, which dwelleth between the cherubims. He's letting God know, you have showed us great favor. You're the Lord God of Israel, and you come in a special way, though I know you're omnipresent, but somehow you dwell between the cherubims and the Holy of Holies, and there's a special place that you have said you will meet with us. And so he's saying, he's just bragging on God. He said, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. I do love this. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. I want you to hear this again. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. He's making an emphasis. What's his emphasis? It's all about God. You've been reproached, God. You look back at verse 4. It was also when he told Isaiah. He said this. He said, you know, who knows, you know, whom the king of Syria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God. He then tells God, God, Sennacherib has sent his messenger, Rabshakeh, and he's bringing reproach to you. Look at this. He says, of a truth. And then he talks to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, now this is reality. Everybody that this king has gone against, he has put a serious whooping on. Every god, small g, that he's done, he has cast them into the fire, and nobody has stood before him. He's saying, now in verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beg you, I beseech you, save us. And why should God save them?
that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only. Parents, I want to ask you this. Why should God bless our children? Are we going to give them up for the Lord? Or do we just want them for us? Warm, fuzzy, cozy, happy? You see, I'm telling you, when you pray for your kids, I think what will get God's attention. Oh God, save my children. And I pray that my children will be used for Your honor and glory, whether it makes me happy or not. Father, what I want is I want all the world to know that You are the great God. And I'm asking for Your blessing on my kids. That they would be used of You. If You want them in Africa, You take them to Africa. You want them in China, You take them to China. Oh, Father, if You want them sick, I'd prefer that You not do that. I would tell the Lord that. But I want them to bring You honor and glory. That'll get God's attention. You see, I want you to start thinking about your prayers. How does it impact God? Is it all about God? Is that new job that you're asking for, and that very well may be okay to ask for a new job. Now, how will that lift up the name of the Lord? How will that bring glory to the name of the Lord? Do you know? Then how can you talk to God about it if you don't know how it's connected eternally? I know. I believe everything we do. See, we should be different. We're believers, those of us that are saved. Everything we do should be connected to, what does this have to do with God? Right? Hezekiah got it. I'm telling you, I'm sure he was shaken when he was praying, right? He was still nervous, right? But he's like this. He wasn't trying to pull a fast one on the Lord. He was just saying, I'm telling you, he already heard from Isaiah, right? But he still talked to the Lord, and he just, you know, I do love this because he had a little bit of Steve Hall in him, Hezekiah did. That's the only bad thing about Hezekiah, right? So he doubted Isaiah, so he said, Lord, I just need You to see this just to make sure, and I'm going to give You a little bit more incentive just in case my friend Isaiah wasn't quite right. This will make you look bad. Make you look bad. I know you don't, it'll make you look bad. Is that good? And now let's see how the Lord responds. Make everything about God. I want you to really analyze your prayers. Why should God answer your prayers? Are you really focused eternally? Or is it just going to be another job? God, give me a car. God, help me with my school. God, help us win the volleyball tournament. Right? I struggle with that. I love sports, right? I always struggle with that. I could never connect the dots. And Lord, if we win today, let me tell you, I could never. Okay, this is just a freebie. Okay, I did. I prayed to win games, right? You know, I'm finally getting over it. The only time I pray about, I just always ask that the Steelers lose. That's it. That's the only time. That is of the Lord. I'll explain that later. You can meet with me after the service. That is true godliness, but how many of you, if you've ever prayed about a sport and you said, oh, let us win? Let's have an invitation right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. The next time, now here you're in this tournament, you're like, oh man. How does it connect eternally? How will it lift up the name of God, and how will it be all about God? I just want you, I'm telling you, that's we got to connect those dots, don't we? And it'll redirect our lives. And so, that's why in my prayer I didn't ask for you guys to win the volleyball tournament. I still can't connect it. Except for the Steelers, right? I mean, when they lose, God is lifted up, right? But how does it connect to the Lord? Now, let's look at this. Let's watch the Lord. This is amazing. I'm not far from a close. 40 minutes. That wasn't a joke. I am. Here's what you know. Just for our friends from Pittsburgh. It is, I've always committed to be done by 8:30, unless we have guests. Then it's 9:30. Verse 20, let's read verse 20 to 28. And here's what I want you to do. Watch
the Lord defend his honor. That's verse 20. Look at this. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now I want you to make sure the context. This is God speaking here. This is the Lord speaking. Make sure of this. This is the Lord. That which thou hast prayed, Hezekiah, to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The Lord is saying this. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee. Now this is the Lord's word, and he's telling this to Sennacherib. He's saying, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee. It's like, wait a minute, he's saying this to Sennacherib. And laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Now, just so you get this, God, I love this. The Lord is taunting Assyria, right? It's kind of like, you know, you think you got a big enough fight, right? You're surrounded by, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and the Lord's like, let's pick a fight. You want to pick a fight? You want to insult a soldier? Here's what he's saying. All the ladies of Jerusalem, they're shaking their heads at you. And they're going, you ain't got nothing, Sennacherib. I mean, and you just talk about, you know, I mean, I know that's politically incorrect, you know, but let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you. If I go to war, I'd much rather have girls on the other side than guys. Okay, I know G.I. Jane was a popular movie. Ain't real. Let me tell you, I got twice as many red blood cells. God's created us differently, not less than, just so you know. So, I'm in trouble already. My point is, the ladies, get this, just this is what the Lord's saying. He's saying, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, verse 21, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Look at verse 22. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? He's asking him this. Who have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? And then he tells him, even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountain, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of his Carmel. This is what Sennacherib's been saying. I'm just going to put a whooping on you and mow down everything in his way. And Sennacherib says this in verse 24, I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. So Sennacherib's like, ain't nothing getting in my way. I've dried up the rivers with my soles of my feet. And they just kind of move. And here's what the Lord says. Don't you love this? Look what the Lord says in verse 25. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? I think he's referring to the Red Sea here. What do you think? The Lord's like, hey, Mr. Sennacherib, did you ever hear the parting of the Red Sea? That was me. You're in trouble. He says, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I have formed it? Oh, by the way, Sennacherib, I'm the creator. You're in trouble. This ain't good. And he says, now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste, fence cities into ruinous heaps. What the Lord's saying is, the only way you've been able to whoop on anybody in a ruinous heap is because I allowed it. It accomplished my purpose, Sennacherib, and you got full of yourself. The Lord continues. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass of the housetops and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But the Lord says in verse 27, but I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. Sennacherib, your issue's with me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook into thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. Here's what I love. The Lord says this. Do you love this? Do you see, if you read 2 Kings 19 and you missed who was speaking to whom? This is the Lord. I mean, He is... not messing around. And what he says is, he says this, a Sennacherib, I'm going to put a hook in your nose. That was a symbolic of slavery. And I'm going to put a bridle in your mouth. And you're going that way, not that way. Someone told me the other day, they said, God never intervenes with the will of man. And I'm like,
Well, I think he put a hook in his nose and a bridle in his mouth, and I think God said, no, Sennacherib, you ain't doing that. You see, let's not make up a false god, right? Let God be God. Now let's look at the blessings. Rejoice in the Lord's care of His people. Now, then the Lord turns to His people in verse 29. And this shall be a sign unto thee, unto Israel. You shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves. And so, look, I'm telling you, they had been walled up. Now, Hezekiah had water reserves coming into the city of Jerusalem. Some amazing archaeology has even uncovered that. But he says, and this shall be a sign to thee, you shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves. And in the second year, that which springeth up of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. He's telling Israel, you're going to have food. And look at verse 30. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The Lord's saying, I'm going to bless you, Judah. Look at verse 31. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. And they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Verse 32. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow. I mean, not arrows, but not even one arrow. Nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? I mean, he's given some specifics here. I mean, you are hunkered down inside of Jerusalem, and the Lord says this, he's not coming. There won't even be an arrow shot into the city. Not one. Because the Lord's going to put a hook in his nose and a bridle in his mouth. Look at verse 34. For I defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians an 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Can you imagine 185,000 dead bodies? The angel of the Lord. Whoa. That's some angel. Now look at verse 36. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Rejoice in the Lord's care of his people. I want to show you just real quick. Look back at verse 7. When Isaiah first spoke to Hezekiah, he told Hezekiah this. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. That was a foretelling of the Lord that said Sennacherib's going to die in his own land. Here's what happened. The Lord said, I'm going to protect you, Jerusalem. And that very night, an angel of the Lord came by and he killed 185,000 Assyrians. The next morning they woke up, dead bodies everywhere. Sennacherib returns back to Nineveh, and then his two sons, two of his sons, murdered their own dad. They then escaped, and another son then takes over. You see, Sennacherib was all high and mighty and tough while he had breath on this earth, didn't he? Met a lady tonight. She got tender. Tender later in the conversation, but she's had a hard life. I don't know what her difficulties were. I don't know what her struggles were, but man, she was hardened from the minute I met her. And I was going to give her a track, and she said, don't give that to me. It'll go right in the trash can. There's a trash can right by her. So I said, I'm not going to take it. But the amazing thing is she let me share the gospel with her. Boy, she was hardened. And I shared the gospel with her. I said, ma'am, have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus? And she said, there's no reason to. Oh, she was hardened. I talked to her a little bit and I said, ma'am, I said, you've had a hard life, haven't you? Tears began to come down. And she said, I have. I said, don't let the devil harden your heart. I said, you must surrender or you leave God no option but to send you to hell. You see, when attacks come, and you know this,
the hand of God is upon every single person in this room. In fact, the hand of God is upon every single person in this world. Because if the hand of God let go of anyone, the devil would instantly kill them. The devil has no interest. There are no friends of the devil. When God gave Satan permission in Job, he took every inch that God gave him. And when God said, you can have everything, but you can't touch Job, his children were dead in mere minutes. This angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians, you know who's more powerful than that angel? The devil. Now, the devil is limited by God. Don't we love that? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But I want to tell you this. When attacks come, you will either get bitter or you'll get better and draw nigh to God. If you try to do it on your own, you'll crash and burn. Simple truths tonight. Go to the house of the Lord. Ask other believers to pray for you. Pray yourself. And make sure you know how it makes God really shine. When God becomes the centerpiece, God is very likely to answer that request. And you know what? Trust in the Lord. And then we can sit back and watch God do a mighty work. And he surely did, didn't he? 185,000 Assyrians, it's nothing for God. And you know what? God loves his children just as much as he loved Israel. And so I want to tell you this, if you're a child of God, he's got your back. If you're not, you're an enemy of God. You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you become a friend of God. Let's pray.